Hi, everybody. This is Ben Starr with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And here's the thing about ideas, concepts, and guests. Sometimes when you listen to them and approach them with an open mind, they have the potential and the ability to sometimes change your mind. That's right, change. And change is something very scary for all of us, right? I think there's a natural inclination for everyone to stay the same and protect ourselves from change, right? Because it's uncomfortable. There's a fear of the unknown out there. We don't want to venture into territory that we don't know. It's scary. How will I deal with a new unknown reality? And I think change is something that is never-ending and inescapable, and that's why it's a good idea to talk about it today. Think about all the changes that we experience, right? Whether it's a family change, a social change, could be a political change, a cultural change, even economic change. And here at WBAI, we've had a lot of change. I mean, we lost Armand, and that was tough this year. And shortly before that, I lost a family member. And I know that Thanksgiving this year will be very, very different without her. So change, it's inevitable, it's inescapable, and it's something that many of us really kick and scream to avoid or to stop. I mean, think about politics. Whichever party is not in power is going to be the party calling for change every time. Doesn't matter the country, doesn't matter the political system. And that's how it operates, right? Change. Think about the changes that happen just here in New York City, right? Every neighborhood changes. Seems like a couple times per generation. Entire neighborhoods change, turn over. New people moving in. Different people, right? Different groups. I think about my grandparents. They lived in a part of Brooklyn that was Italian and Jewish. But before they were there, it was Dutch and then it was German, and after they left, it was Caribbean, and then Chinese and Mexican, and, you know, New York City is always in flux, always changing. It's the one thing we can count on. I know there's that famous line about the only sure thing in life is death and taxes, right? But I think change should be added to that list. And we're going to hear an old recording of Armand in a moment here talking about change, and he describes it in an interesting way that really resonates with me. He talks about the difference between when you change as opposed to when the change happens to you. And it's a very different thing, and people react to those changes very differently. Think about even in the business world, right? We hear these buzzwords in business and in the workplace about being innovative, being disruptive. A game changer is a big one in recent years that's become a popular thing to say. The language of change, it's all around us, and there's reasons why people might resist that change, right? I mean, like I said before, the fear of the unknown, I think, is the biggest one. It's flat out scary. Who knows what's on the other side of a new reality, a new paradigm, right? Tradition can be a strong influence. Maybe, you know, people can be connected to old ways, right? Whether those are religious ways or family traditions or social norms, right? People resist change. I mean, people are so afraid of change that they'll go out and vote to sort of decide how they want other people to live. That doesn't even affect them. Now, without getting into too many politics, because we're not a political show, I always find it interesting that people are so concerned with how others choose to live their lives, you know, whatever kind of lifestyle that is. I mean, to me, I've always thought the three laws you need, right? Don't hurt anyone, don't steal, and don't lie. I think if people all did those three things, just don't hurt people, don't steal from people, and don't lie to people, the world would be a very different place. Let's put it that way. Fear and change, they're very connected. And if you think about it, change, the fear of change is so powerful that there are people who are incarcerated and who have been incarcerated for a long time who are terrified of their release date. And that may seem counterintuitive, right? You may think, What could be better than, you know, having my freedom after being deprived of it? But, you know, I've spoken to some people who are incarcerated, and they describe the routine that they experience. And not that it's pleasant, but that it's very structured and it's predictable in many ways. And it becomes very dull, but in a strange way, comforting. And being released is the end of that, right? Being released into a world that's always in flux, that's sometimes chaotic and unstructured, and that's a fear. I mean, change that imagine being so afraid to be released, but it's something that is very real and that people are dealing with. So as I mentioned earlier, I want to share with you an interesting piece where Armand was describing the difference between change as opposed to, so think about a change that you initiate, that you choose to do, versus a change that happens to you or is forced on you, right? Many of us are in occupations and jobs, positions, and we might be thinking about changing those occupations or taking a job elsewhere. Maybe there's better pay. Maybe their hours are better. And that's a change that we may choose. But I think most people want to do that consciously and conscientiously and make the choice themselves rather than being called into someone's office and told, listen, we're not going to need you anymore. Thanks for everything. There's the door. Two very different kind of changes. Although the result is similar, leaving a workplace, I think we very often react differently to change that happens on our own accord versus change that is foisted upon us. You're listening to The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM WBAI. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank everyone who generously donated to the October Fund Drive. I know it was long. I know it was arduous. I know you got tired of hearing us ask you every single day for donations, but it's finally over, and we're very excited to be getting back to regularly scheduled programming. I'm Ben Starr. Julian Joiello is out today. He's feeling under the weather, but he'll be back soon. Get well soon, Julian. And I want to introduce to you a recording of... Actually, Julian's on this recording. It's going to be Julian and Armand discussing change and with some interesting perspectives on it. So have a listen to this. We'll be taking your calls in about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And I want to hear from you about changes that you've had to negotiate and changes that have been difficult for you, changes that have been rewarding for you, and how you've navigated those changes. So we will be taking your calls. I know it's been a while, been over a month since we got to hear from you, and very excited to get back to that. For now, I want to share with you a piece of Armand discussing change.
Two very important things to know about change. One is called the transition, and the other thing is called change. Change is the physical happening itself. It's the thing that takes place. Transition is the psychological state of mind. Change is situational. The new site, the new boss, the new something. Change is physical, like moving from California to Arizona. But the transition is a psychological process that people go through to come to in terms with the new situation. This takes time. It takes time to go through change. It doesn't happen automatically. You know, it just doesn't shift all at once. The brain has to adapt. In a transition, there is a new ending. When you move from one thing to the other, you have to have an ending point. For a person to successfully make a change, they have to leave the past. And in a transition, you have to arrive at a new place. So how do you go from one place where you were to the new place that you want to be? This is the art of transition. Transition has a period of a neutral zone. The psychological period of transition is much slower than the physical. When you move to a new neighborhood, the physical change usually occurs fast. But the inward psychological transition happens much more slowly. Just think about the fact that maybe you are one of those people whose family moved, and your family moves and you have to go to a new school. Well, it's a new school. What's so simple? What's so hard, right? But it's traumatic to many people because there's a lot of adjustment to take place psychologically. Now, even here at the station, even as we listen, we watch the transition here, there's a piece of us that has to hold on to the past. And there's another piece of us that, you know, is fighting, saying, oh, the past was good. And therefore, we have to have the past be the present. But there's somebody saying, no, the past is gone. Now deal with the new present. How do you integrate your mind so that this becomes the new present, so that you could positively work with whatever the present is for a new future? This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. Unless the transition, the psychological transition takes place, the change never works. It doesn't work. It kind of falls down. So how do you encourage people to in some way go through the transitions? That's the job of the changers. Now, unfortunately, many changers are not very good at that. What they do is they say, oh, here's the fact, everything has changed and you have no adjustment period. There's no consideration of you because we don't know how to help you go through transition. We are powerless. So the only thing we think we could do is take away what you thought you had and have you deal with it. Well, unfortunately, that's the way people do things. Not my way, but it's the way people do things. It's because they're powerless. Why do people use such power to cut things and not allow anybody any voice? Because sometimes the person who is responding to the changes takes on these desperate voices of, oh, no, don't change anything, don't change anything, don't change anything. Well, that's the problem. See, there are two kinds of changes. There's the change that you do, and there's the change that is foisted upon you. Those two changes now. So do you like change? If you decide that you're going to make a change, if you plan the change, and you decide to do a change, you like that. Because your transition is already set up in your mind. You see, in your mind, you've already transitioned to the new place. Therefore, when you make the change, like let's say you're going to get a new car, you've already thought about the car. You've already considered the car. Then you let go of your old car. It's easy to let it go. You don't go crying about your old car. You say, I'm ready. I've made this change. But if somebody takes your car away or they steal your car, you can have a heartbroken attachment to it because it happened to you. So change is significant when you do it, as opposed to when it's done to you. It's very important to determine this. Now, of course, in this neutral zone of transition, there's a time for creativity, renewal, development. The individual that can capitalize on the time of transition will emerge with a new sense of growth. The person who looks at a transition, who looks at a change, and says, all right, here are all the factors. Here come the change. How am I going to grow from this? How am I going to make this a better thing for me? Or how am I going to make it be good for me? How am I going to be okay in the middle of this? That's where we learn. The ending. You can only make a new beginning if you first make an ending to something else and spend more time in the neutral zone. However, most people try to start with the new beginning without finishing the old beginning. They fail to pay the old. They fail to pay important attention to the endings and the existence of the neutral zone, this place in between the two. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind here on WBAI. Yes, 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 the wonderful WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial here in New York City with you Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. And we want to talk about change. We want to talk about some of the aspects of change in the studio with me. Hey, Julian. Didn't even get a chance to say hello to you. Hey, cuz.
Hey.
Hey, change. Yeah, you look at your life, you know. You are 20 years old. Every year is a change, right?
Definitely.
A big change. You know, as you get older, I think the changes, well, I would say that. Let me see if that's really true.
Do you think you get more resistant to change as you get older?
Some people do. Okay. Some people get more resistant. They get fixed in their way. Like, for example, if you have a physical disability of some kind, and you find yourself creaky in the bones, you don't want things to change around you because you don't know if you're going to be able to adapt. So if you get creaky in the brain or creaky in the bones first.
Creaky, right?
But you could get creaky brain. Mm-hmm. Creaky brain is, I don't want anything to change. leave everything the way it is.
Right, because it's dangerous.
I look outside where I live, and I look outside, and they're building a building across the street. And, you know, oh, God, there goes a building taking away my skyline. But, yes, listen, that's creaky thinking. You know?
Creaky change.
Creaky change. Don't want change to take place. So I think that there is, I'm not sure, but I noticed in myself, I welcome the changes. I welcome year-to-year difference. I welcome changes in me. I welcome my new mind. You know, I'm fascinated by how I think now compared to the way I thought last year. I don't know if that makes me good or not, but I really, really enjoy the transitions I go through. Other people I know are like that. Most of the friends I hang out with, the people I like the most, they love going through change. The people I don't enjoy as much are the people who remain static. That doesn't make them bad. I mean, they just like to stay in one zone. They like to be in one place. But youth, or youth, that's from that movie.
Youth.
Youth has got change going on every minute. It's like it's radical. It's part of your life, isn't it?
Whether you want it or not, it's happening to you. So as a youthful person, are you say we it's happening to us or we're making it happen?
Both. Let's think about that for a minute. If somebody comes to you and says to you, okay, Julian, you're taking these classes and we're now they've taken away the course that you're studying.
Right.
Okay, today you are, Julian, you're studying acting down at NYU. They have a curriculum for you. And this year you were really excited because you were going to be taking a method acting course, right? And they were going to do, and you took the introduction to method acting. Okay, you like that a lot. Now, method acting 2 is going to be taught this year. And they come along and they say, well, we decided we'll throw that out of the curriculum because we don't like that anymore. Because people are getting sued for using method acting or something. So we're going to throw it out. And they come to you and they say to you, Julian, I know you want to enroll in this, but we're taking away method acting 2. Now, this is a shift in your life. You already invested a few months in studying the first one. You're 20 years old. This happens to you a lot. People make changes all the time. If they say to you, you can't go in that doorway anymore, you got to go in another doorway, you can't get this way to school, you can't get this money that you could have gotten, how do you deal with the fact that they change something like the curriculum while you're going to school?
Okay, it's a change and I see where it takes me.
Because you are flexible. Because you can go anywhere. See? I mean, so you have plenty of room.
It makes me think a lot about the subway system. Okay, let's say this happens all the time.
It's a perfect example. Go ahead.
So I get to, on a Saturday night, I'm with all my friends, and we're in a big group. We got like 9 people. We've been waiting around. Everybody's impatient. And we get finally to the train, and we have to take the G train. Everybody knows the G train if you're from New York. And the G train is late, and then it's not there, and you can't take it, so we have to get out and walk. And we get out and walk, and I've discovered places that I just would have never seen. I mean, like, we got out of the G train and it was stalled for whatever reason. And here we are, these 9 people going to this totally different way. And we see people I haven't seen in years. And I look up at the sky and see it for the first time because I don't look up a lot in Manhattan and see anything, you know?
So there's a lot of things that take place. But while you were down in that train with your 9 friends, your friends said to you, hey, this train is really miserable. It's not coming. One of you come over the aisle. Let's walk.
And then
the rest say, okay, let's do it. And it's that attitude. You see, that's the youthful attitude. That's the attitude that you have to your advantage because you can walk, because there's no issue about it, because you're not creaky old boned. You know, you can still do it.
No creaky bones.
And even if you had creaky bones, you may say that to yourself. Okay, it's time for me to get out of this subway and move on and see what life is like.
Right.
This is Armand Demuth with Julian Joiello. We're here with The Positive Mind. We're talking about change and the complexity of change. There's a change that you make. And then there are changes that are made on you. For example, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, divorce, separation. Nobody likes being left. Nobody likes it. You don't like it. You don't want to be the one who is left behind. So usually when couples break up, They come to me for therapy because they're falling apart at the seams. Why are they falling apart? The individuals are. Because change was foisted on them. Somebody made a change and they were left behind. The goal is to get back into the relationship, to do whatever you can to get in the relationship with the other person, and then to get them to come back to you so that you could dump them. Nobody likes being the dumpy. Everybody wants to be the dumper and not the dumpy. Because if you are, and this is anywhere, if you get a job, you know, you get a job and then suddenly you're fired from the job. You do everything you can to get rehired so that you could quit on your own. You want to do it at your own speed. See, change, you want to be able to make the change and not have the change just happen to you. There are a lot of rules of change. Change is frightening. We resist change, but fear of the unknown can result in clinging to status quo no matter how bad they are. You know how many bad marriages are out there that would so benefit by change? How about you've got children? You got children and the children are there watching this miserable thing that's called love between a husband and a wife. And that thing that's there is what the children are looking at and thinking of as this is what marriage is about. This is what I'm going to have when I grow up. How often would a change have saved the kids? How many of you have parents out there where you wish your parent would have done something to protect you? A lot of you. What does it take for one parent to break the mold and say, no, you're not going to do this. You're not going to do it this way. You're not going to treat my son, my daughter this way. So change is frightening. What do we do about it? Well, the strategy is examine the consequences. One of the things that people do is they resist change, but what you can do is compare all the possible consequences of both your status quo, the way things are, and what you could get as a result of it. If you somehow could review in your mind over and over again the way it would be if you made the change. So you got to have the old behavior and the old situation and the new situation side by side. One does not make you go to the other, but what will happen is by familiarizing your brain with the new situation and saying, ah, if I were free. Now, for example, let's say you're in a relationship that's a toxic relationship. And you say to yourself, this is a good relationship only because I couldn't stand to be alone, which I perfectly understand. What you would have to do is imagine yourself, take some time alone outside of the relationship and build something for yourself. Go outside of your relationship and see what it's like to have something, take a class. Take something that you do independently so you build the concept of aloneness. If you imagine what it's like on the other side, if you imagine what it's like to travel, take short trips so you can familiarize your mind with being away from the safe net. Behaviors are complex. There is nothing that you could do that is as simple as just making a change. There are many, many ways of understanding different behaviors. But remember, nothing is just very simple. It's all complex. Change must be positive. Positive because, you know, Skinner did some early research on reinforcement, not punishment, as opposed to punishment. You know, there's one way to try to get people to change, you punish them. There's another way to get people to change is you reinforce them. And the theory is that reinforcement works so much better than punishment. That's not always true. That's in theory. But, you know, for example, if you have somebody who comes to work and they show up late every day, if you dock them $50 every time they show up, they change. Whereas if you just encourage them and tell them how wonderful they are, whether they show up or not, it doesn't necessarily work. So, being is easier than becoming. In a karate class of 20 students, the instructor yelled, "No pain, no gain." After 4 weeks, only 3 students remained. Uncomfortable change becomes punishing. And rational people don't continue activities that are more painful than they are rewarding. No pain, no gain is silly. You don't have to have pain to have gain, right? You could take baby steps. You could do a little at a time. You could do one goal after another goal after another goal to help with the change. Now,
and that was the voice of Armand DeMille and Julian Joiello discussing change here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Armand DeMille, such a great friend to Julian and I, and such a great mentor. And we appreciate the opportunity from both the listeners of The Positive Mind and WBAI to allow his voice to live on the airwaves. And something that I feel is important, since there's so much content and so many hours of interesting little nuggets of wisdom like that. Think about that psychological transition, right? The neutral zone between endings and beginnings. And we'll be taking your calls in just a moment here. About maybe 5-10 minutes, we'll be taking some phone calls. I want to hear from you what your transitions have been, your changes. What has it been like for you, that neutral zone? Have you been able to put an end before a new beginning? It's not always that simple. It's not always that simple. And I think there's many things that play into this fear of change, right? Is the biggest thing, mentioned off the top, the fear of the unknown, right? Because we all have a tendency to stay with what's comfortable and what's familiar. And new things, while there can be opportunities and new things to learn and explore, new things also, you know, carry the threat of the unknown. And that's something that we're, I think, genetically hardwired to avoid, right? Don't go around that corner. Better see what's around the bend before, you know, look before you leap. That's the fear of the unknown. And the fear of aging, too, you know, at all ages. I think there's many kids want to be older than they are, right? I think a lot of us went through that as teenagers, wishing that you could be a grown-up. Even as a kid, wishing that you could be able to play with the big kids and stay up later. And so those are the people, I think, who may be exempt from the fear of aging. But, right, once we hit adulthood, I think many people experience this fear of aging. You know, I know a lot of people who are afraid to turn 30. And beyond that, afraid of the big milestone birthdays, afraid of turning 40, 50, 60, and so on and so forth. By the way, tomorrow, Veterans Day, we'll have a special edition where we will discuss with two veterans, local guys, New Yorkers, two Marine Corps veterans, of their experience. They served 40 years apart, and so we'll have both of their perspectives. And I bring it up because today's the Marine Corps birthday, which they pointed out to me. So happy birthday. It's also a decade one. It's 240 years, quite a long time. You tune into The Positive Mind. I'm Ben Starr. It's 99.5 FM, WBAI on your dial. Coming up on 1:30 here in New York City on a drizzly gray day in November, November 10th. And we'll be taking a short musical break. And when we come back, we'll be taking your phone calls. So the number to call here is 212-757-5555. Tell me about how you've dealt with change. How have you negotiated it? Gonna listen to some music and be back after this.
One of these days, things gonna change. One of these days, things gonna change. Your time now, baby. After a while, gonna do mine, gonna be mine. Day, a moment in drowning, baby. Try. Won't be long. They ain't gonna change. Sometime in the middle of the night, I get so lonely, so lonely. Change. They ain't gonna change.
All right, that was John Lee Hooker featuring the unmistakable guitar of Carlos Santana with Things Gonna Change here on WBAI 99.5 FM. You're listening to The Positive Mind. I'm your host today, Ben Starr. And we're talking about change. Change is something that is pretty universal, something that we all go through, and on different levels, right? On personal levels, on family levels, as communities, as societies, as a world at large. Change is really inescapable. And for the first time in over a month, we are able to open up the phone lines. Very excited to do that. I want to take our first call today. We have Ellie in Westchester. Ellie, thanks for calling in.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks. So, yeah, what's your, yeah. What's, how have you navigated difficult change in your life?
Yeah, to put it briefly, I ended a relationship that basically wasn't going in the direction that I wanted it to, basically.
So you were the dumper and not the dumpee?
It turned out to be almost mutual, because when I put it out there, he said, okay, then go. And that told me that 4 years meant nothing to this person. So as the past 4 months have gone by, I've found different hobbies. I've really grown into my own and really enjoy, like, you know, my home and decorating it a little bit. And
were you living with this person?
No, I wasn't. But I was never home, because I was pulled over to his world, his lifestyle, and it was all about, you know, it was centered around him, basically. You know, I felt like things had to go his way. I had to go over to his home and things like that. So I basically never saw my home on the weekends. And just to be home on the weekends was such a treat that I almost forgot why I was home. And that's because my relationship ended.
So has that been the biggest change for you, is rediscovering your own life and your own space on your terms?
That's one of them. And I thought that if I engaged in other activities, I love to walk, I love gardening and photography, that would pull me out of that relationship funk. But what actually happens is you go through these I went through these highs of feeling so empowered, like I did the right thing. And, you know, yes, I was sad. Of course I was sad. I loved this person very, very much. And I know on some level he loved me. But what happened, you know, just what happened today, last night, I started bawling and crying and suffering, like missing him. And even though my mind says he was not the right person, I missed the intimacy. I missed having someone.
Comfort.
Yeah, go ahead.
Comfort, right? You missed the comfort of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and, you know, after 4 years...
In retrospect, I know he was, you know, not at my level emotionally. I think emotionally he's a little broken, and it prevents him from moving forward. And or there are many men and women out there who choose to be unmarried, and that's a viable choice too. So I'm not poo-pooing those people who make those choices.
Let me ask you a question. Did you hear the piece that we played where Armand was discussing change just earlier?
Yes, I was listening to it.
So he described how change is the end of something before the beginning of something new, and then the neutral zone that he described in between.
Yes.
Where would you say you feel you are right now? Are you hitting that neutral zone? Are you still trying to negotiate the end in a way?
Yeah, I'm very much in the neutral zone, and I wouldn't have known it unless the past 2 days, you know, the things that transpired in the past 2 days hadn't happened, because I thought I was well past it and getting stronger, but there's still a lot of emotion that I internalized.
Of course, and that's something that I think takes time for all of us, and I think everyone can relate to your situation. Most people, have experienced that. I know I have, is the ending of a relationship that, you know, we've grown accustomed to and comfortable with and happy, at, you know, inside of. So, you know,
right.
I wish you...
another factor. You know, I'm up in age, I'm 50, and I think to myself, oh my God, you know, I don't have that many, you know, years left on this earth, and I'm getting older, and, you know, will I meet somebody? And, you know, I just start hyping out about the future.
Well, I think, you know, I wouldn't be pessimistic. I happen to know a 70-year-old who just found love in the last few years, so I think there's always time for that.
Yay!
Thanks for the call, Ellie. I appreciate it, and best
of
luck. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. 212-757-5555. We're talking about change and how you've experienced it. There's really a universal topic, I think, that we can all relate to one way or another. Ellie talked about the ending of a relationship, and, you know, we heard Armand discuss that a little bit. And also, there's loss, right? I mean, we all lost Armand this year, and that's been a change. And change is always going to be difficult, right? I mean, loss is probably the most universal change that we can imagine. Let's take another call. Hello, you're on the air, WBAI. Who's this?
Yes, I'm calling relating to the radio station that you have on.
Hi, yeah, who's this? You're on the air.
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. And what's your experience dealing with change? Have you had some trouble or some difficulties navigating it?
Yes, I got separated, and it's been very rough, yes.
Sure. How long ago was this?
About 19 years ago.
19 years ago, and it's still been something that's tough to get accustomed to?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, I have a son, which is great, and I don't get along with my parents too well, and I feel stranded.
Stranded. Because earlier when you had the relationship, there was a stability in that, right?
Yes, definitely.
And so what have you done? What have what have been your strategies to attempt to learn, you know, this new landscape that you're in now?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Could you just turn your radio down for me, please?
Oh, okay, that's why I couldn't hear, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm just wondering what your strategies have been to deal with the change, how you've coped with that.
Well, I live one day at a time, and I take care of my son very well. And I have a couple of friends, which is supportive. And I go day by day.
Well, I think, you know, you're approaching it in a way that many of us have approached difficult situations. And, you know, I think you will find that if you give the world a chance, I think the world wants to give you a chance, too.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's not only the world we live in, unfortunately. It got worse, which is not really good for this generation. But, you know, people they have to be more kinder to each other so we could live in a better civilized world, not to go off of the topic.
No, I completely agree. Earlier in the show, I was saying that the three rules that we should all live by is just be, you know, don't hurt people, don't steal, and don't lie. And I think if people started living that way, it would be a much kinder world, like you said.
Yes, there's too much hatred in the world that we live in, unfortunately.
It's true, but you know what? With it starts on an individual level. So, you know, that's all we can do is, as individuals, try to bring more love into our interactions and our experiences. And I thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Take care.
Okay.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. We're talking about change. We've heard from a couple people talking about the change of separation, and that is a tough one. And wondering out there if anyone has stories of how they dealt with the change, and maybe a change in a job or a change in a family situation or a change in living situation. There's many, many examples. Let's take another call. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Tony. You know, I called you guys in before, and I just turned the radio on, and I heard the topic. I love this topic. Change. It's awesome. I have a quick story.
Go ahead.
I was in a relationship for about 7 years, and I heard the young lady previous to the one that just got off the line.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I think that in the dating world and in the relationship world, we should start off our relationships with honesty. You see, I met this young lady. She's very intelligent. She has two master's degree, very beautiful. I don't know where I found her. Not really thinking that I didn't deserve to be with her, but she was way out of my league. But we stayed in the relationship for about 7 years. It ended abruptly. I felt crushed. I felt hurt. And after all the flames had burnt out and the smoke settled down, I found myself wanting to understand what went wrong, because it all went wrong so quick and so bad. And the hurt and the separation and the loss that I felt led me to an online program. I won't mention the name of the program, but the basis is how to get her back.
Okay.
And I thought, this is an awesome book. Why didn't somebody come up with this before? Or why didn't I know of this before? I ran through the program, and the program is actually a trick. You think that this program is about how to get this person back, but the program is actually how to move forward. That's showing you that trying to get this person back may not be in your best interest.
Right.
Moving forward.
Because in the end, I think for men and for women, desperation is not an attractive trait.
And you know what? This is one of the things that it touched on. Now, the reason that I wouldn't mention the name of the program, there are quite a few things that are in the program that I consider to be manipulative. And that was a direction that I just didn't see it as feasible.
So, Tony, let me ask you, were you the dumpy? She dumped you?
Oh, yeah, man.
And you didn't see it coming, right? You were blindsided?
I felt it. Go ahead.
You were blindsided. You didn't see it coming.
You know what? I felt that there was something going on, and I really didn't pay attention to it. This young lady, she's a sweetheart. I really don't speak about her because I feel that I've moved past that situation. But this is an awesome person I spent quite a few years of my life with, so it's kind of difficult to just completely deny the fact that there is some influence on your behavior from those 7 years of your life.
Oh, well, absolutely, Tony. And I don't think you forget the past, right? I think you move forward and live in the present, right? Holding on to maybe, you know, the memory, but not necessarily dwelling on it. And I do remember, I think you called us earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I forgot what this was on.
Yeah. Well, Tony,
I can listen to you guys as much as possible.
I appreciate that, and thanks for the call. I want to try to squeeze one more call in here before we come up on the top of the hour, but I do appreciate it, and I appreciate your insight. Thanks.
No problem.
Take care. 212-757-5555. Let's get one more quick call in. 212-757-5555. We've had three relationship calls, and I think it goes to show how important that sort of change is to people, right? It's cataclysmic at times, right? Sometimes, you know, someone can be your whole entire world, and you get into a relationship with them, and that change can be devastating. Let's take one last call. Caller, you're on the air. This is WBAI. Who's this?
Hi, this is Mary Jo.
Hi, Mary Jo. I think we've heard from you before, too.
Oh, quite a while ago, but yes.
Yes, good to hear from you again. How's everything?
Pretty good. However, I'm not calling about change in relationships, except the relationship with myself. Quite a number of years ago, I made a major change, and that was basically to stop drinking.
That is certainly a major change.
That led to many, many changes in my life, in my person, you know, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. So, you know, but I didn't do it alone. But it was definitely a positive change in the right direction.
And if you don't mind me asking, how long ago was this?
It'll be 30 years next year.
3 years?
30
years. Wow, that's quite a long time of sobriety.
Yeah, I stopped when I was 24.
Okay. And so that's incredible. 30 years. Congratulations to you. That is a big anniversary. And
yeah.
I'm wondering, what were the hardest adjustments to make for you in that change?
Other than behavioral, you know, obviously.
Besides, not actually physically picking up a drink.
Yeah, a lot of times people will put down the drink and then pick something else up, and that's why, you know, I didn't do it by myself. I was in a 12-step program, still am. But I would say the hardest thing for me was doing things sober, even the littlest things, as far as, you know, definitely interacting with people and relationships, getting into a relationship, and being sober and just doing everything without looking to the bottom of a bottle.
Yeah, I understand that. And I have a friend of mine who's been sober for several years, and he mentioned a similar thing that you did, that when he got sober, he had to relearn how to do everything, how to socialize sober.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
because he was he didn't know how to approach women sober.
Yeah.
Because the alcohol gave him the courage and, you know, the sharp wit. And he felt like, you know, it's like Dumbo and the magic feather. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he felt like he didn't have his magic feather. But with time, he learned that he didn't really need it in the first place.
Yeah, that's why it's really, really important to learn from somebody who's gone through it, you know.
Absolutely. Well, Mary Jo, I congratulate you on your upcoming 30-year anniversary. That is a big deal. And certainly a big change that you were able to make, and it's definitely to be commended.
Thank you so much, Evan. And you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
So I don't think we have enough time to squeeze one more call in, but I do want to once again thank everyone from the bottom of my heart and on behalf of Julian as well. We got such a wonderful response in our October fun drive, and it's gone a long way towards really keeping us on the air, both WBAI and The Positive Mind, and shown people at WBAI that you guys care about the content that we deliver to you and the stuff that we're putting on the air. So thanks again to everyone. The list is too long to name. I tried to thank as many of you as I could during the fun drive, but you know who you are, and we will be putting together your premiums, Julian and I, in the next 2 weeks and mailing them out. And I really hope to get them out to you by Thanksgiving, meaning in your mailbox by Thanksgiving or your P.O. box. Some of you donated with a P.O. box address. So really, I can't thank you enough, all of you who supported. And now we're back to regular programming, which is very exciting for us. And today we did a little bit of a discussion on change. Tomorrow's Veterans Day, and we have a special Veterans Day edition. We're going to be discussing what it is to be a veteran. We're talking to two New Yorkers who both served in the Marine Corps, but 40 years apart. So one served in Iraq and one served in Vietnam. And we want to hear a little bit about their experiences and the impact on their lives. And, you know, I think Veterans Day is often much politicized, but really we want to just get to the core of who they are as human beings and what that experience meant to them and how it shaped them and influenced them and impacted them. So I want to thank you again for your generosity over the fund drive. And thanks to everyone who called in today and for those of you who tuned in today. I know there's some listener fatigue setting in. I know after 4 or 5 weeks, 5.5 weeks of constant, incessant pledging, you know, you just want to say, get on with it already. And believe us, we want to get on with the programming too. But we got to do what we got to do to pay the expenses of WBAI, to keep the station transmitting, to keep the studio running, and it's all thanks to you and your contributions. So we do appreciate that once again. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be on same place, same time, 1 p.m. right here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Once again, it'll be a special Veterans Day edition of The Positive Mind. We're going to talk to two local veterans who served 40 years apart, so very different age perspectives. Thanks again, everyone. This has been Ben Starr with The Positive Mind, and we will be back tomorrow.